So it's Sunday morning, January 20th, 21st, 15 degrees out here at my house, got both my wood stoves going, just had some breakfast, drinking some tea, my dog Nigel's all curled up in his dog bed, he's all happy right now by the fire, and you know, normally I'd be probably working right now somewhere, and I'm not. And this winter, once again, started off poorly in New England, especially on the coast. There was a lot of rain, a lot of warm temps, so we really didn't get any ice up here. The mountains had some big rain events, for sure, flushed things out, but, you know, mountains are a little colder, so they had a little more conditions here or there, but the work I had in December wasn't a lot, but I had a handful of days got all postponed or canceled. And then had a handful of work in January. And the day after Christmas, my wife and I both woke up feeling really sick, some like really bad flu viral thing. That kind of took us out for about a week and a half, kind of homebound, bedbound a couple days. A couple days I couldn't eat or drink anything, so I was just vomiting. Some congestion, all the things, right? Just like 10 days. So that made me cancel a trip in that time period. And just as things were starting to feel better, you know, you get that day where you're like, oh, yeah, I'm not out of the tunnel, but I'm not 100%, but I feel pretty good. Like tomorrow, I'm going to feel probably pretty close to 100%. I was at that day, and I was still having some issues with my ear and fluid retention in my ear, so I couldn't really hear anything out of my right ear. I was talking to one of my uncles who's a specialist in that, and, had me do some things, see if that would work. And that evening, went to bed, woke up early in the morning, you know, maybe 2 a.m., with extreme disequilibrium, literally, like, fell out of my bed, like, because my world was completely rotating in every plane, even though I wasn't moving, on my hands and knees, by my bed, just, like, projectile vomiting. Very disturbing and uncomfortable feeling, actually. And then once that went on for a while, I was able to kind of get back into bed and lie there, the world completely spinning around. Finally, early in the morning, same deal, vomiting, spinning around, and decided to go to the emergency room. You know, and it was kind of, I had this moment where I was looking at my future self. And because I was in the shower, like on the floor, just, you know, because the water felt really good, but I couldn't stand up, just vomiting in the shower, you know, and my wife came down and brought me some clothes and like helped me up and like dried me off and was like putting my socks, like literally dressing me because I couldn't do it all on my own. I'm like, huh, you know, in a couple decades, this could be a reality again, you know, like, wow, okay. Went to the emergency room. Luckily, the closest one's only a few miles away, but driving there or riding there in the car was challenging. I had to really focus on one point. Couldn't even really walk all the way into the emergency room because of the disequilibrium and the vomiting. Had to get wheeled in. I spent a few hours there, IV, meds, and that really helped. And the initial diagnosis was labyrinthitis. So essentially, I have a problem with my inner ear, which is causing disequilibrium. Went home, slept all day, continued to have some meds that helped with nausea and disequilibrium, a little bit of Ativan just to knock everything down a bit to kind of help calm myself down. Luckily, the nausea thing ended pretty quickly. So I had nausea meds, but within a day, I was able to like eat normally and no problem. But still a lot of disequilibrium. and like walking around and, you know, trying to walk or stumbling around or even standing or sitting. Lying down felt good. And yeah, this was like 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago yesterday, actually. And since then, I've seen my primary doctor who, you know, diagnosed the thing as acute viral labyrinthitis. So once again, a viral attack into your inner ear, to the nerves there. Still can't hear anything out of my right ear. There may be fluid in there still. It doesn't feel like it, but there still may be. It might have now thickened and can't drain. It could be nerve damage, could be both. I'm feeling a lot better. Get slow steps every day. Still have disequilibrium. I can't drive. The largest distance I've traveled from my house is about 5 miles at this point. I had to give up all the work I had booked in January. I'm currently in the process of finding guides to take my work in February. Because at this point, I just can't do it. And almost the more significant thing is I can't drive anywhere. I don't even know if I could really sit in a car for a few hours. And all the work I have is not here. It's all anywhere from 4 to 8 hours away by driving on the trips I have booked in New Hampshire and New York. And so it's kind of interesting. Luckily, I have two relatives who are specialists in this, one who still practices clinically, which I'll probably see, one who doesn't, who I actually talk to almost every day about this. So I have a lot of, you know, opportunity to get their opinions. And the big thing everybody is telling me is like, this will take a while before you get your balance back. You know, it can be a slow process, even if the diagnosis, like the most benign case of this, you know, the most straightforward case of this, it could take 2 to 3 months to really get things back. Luckily, balance is something you can train. So I could work with some physical therapists. It hasn't come to that yet. I'm waiting on an audiogram that'll help give the doctors some more data about what's going on in my inner ear and some other things, which might help them down. One of my uncles is definitely more red flagging me because of the acuteness and the severity of the onset of this, and it led me to the emergency room. Is like this is less common to be that severe and that acute with these things. There could be a bigger, more zebra event happening that would present the same symptoms. You know, could be. There's a possibility there. We don't know. Most likely not, especially with the precursor of the very intense viral flu-like thing I had before that is like the perfect lead into the thing I have now. So it seems kind of straightforward, but there's a possibility. So there's also a possibility that I may not regain full hearing in my right ear. There's also a possibility that I may not regain full equilibrium. Those are all possibilities. Probably not highly likely, but possible. So it's interesting now. I have just been home and, you know, really, I haven't worked since November. Luckily, you know, I've done some of the things that we talked about in the with Dan in the conversations we had about financial planning, like having a little emergency fund, you know, having some money squirreled away. So like, you know, it's going to be okay. Like I have kind of the latitude to be able to kind of float this time. And luckily I have very little overhead, kind of pulled some levers, kind of stopped paying my personal trainer, you know, for a couple months. I can't really do anything anyway. I just began starting doing some basic mobility stuff in the morning to kind of move my body as I've had just a little more control over that. Can't do all the things, but some things. And going from there. So it's a lot of my days is just kind of like I'm home and doing home things. And, recovering from anything or dealing with anything is really tiring. So I have a lot of fatigues, a lot of naps. I've just in the last couple of days started to feel like I've had more stamina and kind of more interest in, like, you know, I can go out and I call it stumbling the dog now, not walking the dog, because I just go out on this dirt road behind my house and kind of like stumble around while my dog's walking. It's kind of funny, actually, kind of comical. You know, when I get really tired, the disequilibrium's more significant. I'm no longer on any meds. Like, I have some meds for the disequilibrium that just deals with the symptoms. It never takes the symptoms completely away, at least not for me, but it does help. The more fatigued I am, the more the world spins. I'm going to try to go to the climbing gym next week and do a little, like, easy top roping. That's kind of on my agenda, to kind of get back to my new normal for the moment. And, yeah, and, you know, life goes on. There are still things I have to do here. Like, I have to bring wood in because my wife and I burn wood for to heat our house. So there are still days where I have to kind of go out there and manage that. And it's kind of interesting. Once again, it's kind of this interesting piece with the how you've set your life up and what you do. And even things like driving is like, well, it kind of is an interesting window of like, well, when you get significantly older and maybe what you're experiencing now is more like just every day and your body's a lot less capable, what's that? This is what it might look like. So it might feel like to live in this space and have to do these things. And it's amazing how much we all rely on our bodies to do everything, right? Just to be alive. We rely on our heartbeat just to stay alive. Like, and being a mountain guide, you know, a mountain athlete really, is like we really put our bodies through kind of extreme tests and challenges and expect it to work. You know, we deal with, you know, mentally very challenging things, you know, emotionally very challenging things, physically very challenging things. You know, like we're dealing with, you know, if you do any winter guiding, winter climbing, like just harsh environments, like the ability to just endure, like in the winter time, it's always been a big piece for me. It's like just being able to like go out and put the big days in, the heavy packs, the cold weather, the breaking the trail, these little micro expeditions that I've been doing for years into these remote places, you know, pulling sleds and cooking food, you know, all the stuff and taking care of people. And like now, can't do it. Like I can walk the dog and that's about it. Like I can't even imagine at this point even just being out for several hours of doing something physically, let alone having a pack on and doing it or breaking trail or just doing the intense physical labor that guiding can be, especially in winter guiding. And yeah, and so now I've starting to peel away the work I had lined up in February. And hopefully I can do something in March. So kind of an interesting place. Through this whole period, I've been very optimistic. I've not really had, I had one day where I felt a little dark, and I mostly because I didn't sleep well. So I woke up tired, and the disequilibrium was more pronounced, and I felt like I was stepping back a little bit in terms of my progression, and I felt just a little dark that day, just a little bit. But overall, I've been really optimistic, and first of all, I like being home, and I've spent so many days away from home. I love being able to hang out with Nigel every day. I love being able to see my wife every day. So those things are great. And to be honest, like I had really not thought a whole lot about guiding or how my future might unfold. There's still some data I need from the doctors and tests to kind of get still a clearer picture of what's going on. Mostly everybody's like, well, you just need to rest and let this thing play out. I'm like, okay. So that's what I'm doing. And kind of the biggest thought that came up with not being able to do the work, at least in the short term, but maybe potentially longer term, don't know. The first thought that came to my mind, interestingly enough, was relief. I was like, oh, I finally have an out of this, like a legitimate out that I can be like, all right, I got to check out from this because this is not allowing me to do this. And here's the reason why. And that's kind of an interesting feeling, you know, to think like that. And yeah, it was like, hold on, what does that mean? You know, I can finally stop doing this work. I mean, I do, there's a little bit of like a, you know, cliche tortured artist vibe in my brain where it's like I have extreme on both ends of like elation, joy, engagement, love of doing this work. And then on the other side, you know, despair, depression, anxiety about doing this work. I can't really see myself doing anything else, even though I might have to. I don't think so, but I might have to. But I felt just in general, just kind of at ease and kind of calm about all this, and having this optimism, which is not really based on anything and any fact. I just like, I think this is going to get better, and I'm optimistic. And as I get to certain benchmarks, mostly a timing benchmark and a how I feel benchmark, I kind of pivot what the next couple weeks might look like, all right, I think I need some more time. Let's pivot. Let's kind of work on getting things straightened out work-wise so I can take that time. Just kind of going from there. One of the other things that's been really important while I've had all this time is a little over a year ago, I started playing the classical guitar again. And I had a big period of my life where I played a lot for a bunch of years. And kind of got burned out, and I'm not going to get into that whole story. And then I had a big chunk of time, like over a decade, where I didn't play. And there was a period of time where I couldn't listen to guitar music. It just made me too bummed out, whatever. And then through a whole series of like events of like the stars lining up, both internally with me and then the opportunity to acquire a really good instrument and get back on the bandwagon and want to play again, all kind of happened. It just all kind of fell in my lap over a year ago. And since that time, like, I knew what I had to do. Luckily, my good friend Kevin is still around. He's an amazing guitarist and guitar teacher, and we play and do stuff. But I knew what I had to do, so I started doing it. So I've been playing regularly, like, every day since I started playing and, you know, putting a lot of time in and really enjoying the process. I have a really different mindset to the whole thing now. And now I've just been able to... There was earlier in this whole event, medical event I had, I couldn't really play a lot. There was a handful of days where I couldn't play because sitting wasn't really comfortable with the disequilibrium, and I just didn't have a lot of energy, so I could only play a little bit, and I'd have to, like, lie down. Now I can essentially put lots of time in. Sitting's not too bad. But I've been really enjoying having this time and having this outlet to give me something to do, so I'm not just idle at my house. I mean, there's just times when you just don't have anything to do, but it makes me think about the process of what I'm going through with the guitar and the music and kind of how I'm feeling about guiding right now. And it's just such an amazingly parallel track. Like, when I talk to my friend Kevin, our lives are amazingly parallel in terms of what we've done and how we've done it in our perspective fields and what we've gained and what we've learned. It's actually scary a little bit. But there's this piece of when you want to learn an instrument that it's very daunting, it's very challenging. You know, learning an instrument's tricky. It takes effort, it takes diligence, it takes perseverance, you know, it takes patience. There's no shortcuts. There's literally no shortcuts. You just have to do the work. And you start off, and as you start getting better and better, you know, like, all of a sudden you want to play harder and harder music, because there's a lot of music I want to play is pretty difficult, and you want to play harder and harder music. And you know, partly that is because you like the music, but partly is because you just want to prove to yourself in the world, like, look at me, look how good I am, look at what I can do. Like, I put this effort in and I can do this, you know. And that's the same, not a dissimilar path in guiding. You know, you start off, everything seems so amazingly overwhelming, all these techniques and whatever, and you're learning, and then you get better and better, and all of a sudden you want to guide harder things, more remote things, more, you know, bigger things or whatever. You know, bigger mountains, bigger ski lines, whatever it is, you know, more technically challenging, you know, because there's a piece that you're enjoying it, and there's a piece that you, like, want to put it on paper, like, I did this. See what I did. that's certainly a part for me. I certainly felt that. And now my whole approach to playing is I'm just going to play. And I'm not going to focus on the music I want to play. I'm going to focus on the music I am playing. Because I know if I keep doing what I'm doing, and I'm diligent, and I'm patient, and I do the right things, that it's going to unfold, and unfold in ways I'm not sure how it will unfold. So that might mean I get to play some of these pieces that I'd really like to play. It may not. But I'm really satisfied with the process, right? I'm satisfied by, I love just holding the guitar. Every guitar, depending on who made it and where it's made, has a smell, usually from their shop. You smell the guitar like in the sound hole, you know, and it makes me think of, one of my guitars is from a guy that I do know in Spain, and it makes me think about being in a shop in Spain. I'm like, I have this connection with Juan, like, awesome. I love playing his guitar. And it's the same thing with guiding. And I've kind of come to this realization with guiding now as I'm starting to get older. And, you know, my desire and need to prove anything is a lot less. Like, so what if I never guided Denali? I could have. I certainly had the skill for it. I was interested in it for a while, but I just was never in that circle. I never pursued it that aggressively. There's always other things I could be doing, and I did do. That's okay. It doesn't matter now, you know. So it's not what you play. It's how you play it. So now, even the simplest piece of music that is beautiful, it's all about, well, how well can you play this? This is just as significant than the most difficult piece because it's music and you want to play it as well as you can because even the most simplest piece, oftentimes the most simplest piece can be the most haunting piece. And then things that are just like technically virtuosic are amazing to watch, but in some ways it's like, it's too much. You're like, all right, stop moving all your fingers. Stop climbing so hard. It's too much. It's too bright, you know? And so when I think about guiding now and the optimism I have about going back to work, and even if when I recover fully, I think that's going to happen. How's that going to change my view on what I do next with my career? And I feel like there's this piece of me that's coming full circle, coming back to, even though I've never really left, where I really started, which is the sea cliffs, the climbing instruction in my local area, you know, back in the 90s. And there's a big part of me that's like, you know what? I love it there. It's beautiful. I like the work. I like the terrain. I like what I can do with people there. It's very satisfying, right? Kind of coming full circle back to that. Like, oh, yeah, this is awesome here. You know, a lot of the stuff I've done in the winter, I'm less interested in doing these big, really physically demanding trips. I'm like, I did a lot of that. And I was kind of into it for a long time, kind of got really good at it. And these all these different facets with logistics and food and navigation. And I'm less interested in that. I'm more interested in like keeping my like late winter ski guiding thing going. I really like that because I really love to ski tour. So there are pieces that I'm like willing and able to let go now and need to let go because I'm like, I don't really want to do that work anymore for various reasons. And there's work that I'm like, no, I'd like to hang on to this. I'd like to explore this more. I'd like to go down this path. I'd like to play this music over here, whatever that is, right? And then like for me, I start to realize that it's, once again, it's the significance is not what I can do or what I have done or what I could do. It's the fact I'm just doing it at all. Like that's more significant to me now and the process I'm going through versus trying to do whatever. Still have goals. You know, I have goals in music. I have goals in guiding. I have goals in climbing and skiing. They're not always lofty, but they're things I want to do. And I'm just going to enjoy the process and enjoy the time I get to engage in those activities with the people I'm with, whether it's a guiding scenario, whether it's just a recreational scenario. But yeah, this whole thing about kind of losing control of your body. Remember, mountain guides are control freaks. You may not think you are, but we all are control freaks in some way, right? And to lose control of parts of your body is very interesting. But what I've just, the overwhelming feeling I've had from this whole process is not doubt and not fear. It's just been optimism. And I think that says a lot about kind of where I have evolved personally to the person I am now in my relationship with a lot of things, with my body, with my work, you know, with music, if you will. So it's been a long road getting here. It wasn't always easy, but it's like, oh, I'm pretty optimistic about what's going to happen in the future. And the future may be different than what I think. That's probably going to be true. But in whatever comes, I'm like, huh, it'll be okay. We'll work it out. Some drastic things may change, or maybe just some subtle things need to change. I'm not sure yet. But I'm optimistic that it will play out and be okay. And that comes back down to just kind of your attitude about the whole thing. Not that the outcome that might happen is going to be what you think it is, but just being open and present with the process and focusing on that, and knowing if you are positive and focusing on that process, a favorable outcome will happen. So, in some way. But that is the current state of affairs right now. I'm really hoping that my recovery is going to start accelerating or be a little less linear, maybe a little more of a curve to that progression, an upward curve. And then hopefully I can get on skis and go out and try to ice climb in February just recreationally and build up some strength and stamina again and kind of have more control over my body, and then kind of go into March feeling strong and go into the ski trips I've got booked in April feeling good, and come home and go sit back at the sea cliffs and enjoy the view. So, yeah, just enjoy the process and go for it.